Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini
Nama
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Lila Bhavishtam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bharva Jagacharya Sada Sada Sri Shiva Divine Grace Shri Lavoka Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Ananta Kota Vaishnavindya Ki
Jai.
Iskan Pama Chayas Divine Grace Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Apachaya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki
Jai.
Thanks to Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Ananda Shri Vedi Gidhar Har Shri Vasari Gaurava Bhakti Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinacham Kunradhika Giri Govardhanki Shri Vrindavan Dhamki Avadhi Maya Govardhanki Ganga Mayiki Mayiki Tulsi Deviki Bhakti Deviki Sankirtan Yavyaki Harinam Sankirtanki Shri Shri Radha Gopinathki Samaveta Bhakti Vrindhiki Gopinathki Glorious to the Sun Glorious to the Sun Glorious to the Sun Glorious to Shri Shri Guru So, I was just giving a topic about loyalty to Parampara. And invoked in me this memory of this section. It was a very nice description from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the importance of following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And he actually gives the dangers of not following and explains consequences and reasons why someone may not follow. So I thought it might be good to read from there. That practically in of itself, all I have to do is read it, and it very nicely gives sufficient detail without even commenting. But we can give a few comments, and I'm sure Maharaj will have some comments to share. And since it's only a short gathering, I mean short time, maybe we can also have a little discussion on the topic and see if we can all benefit from it. So this is in the section actually, Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat. Not in Sadhuvritti, interesting enough. You would think it would be there, but it's actually in the section of Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains what the favorable activities for devotional service, and he lists, of course, the first five. There is accepting a bona fide spiritual master, you know, acquiring from him, taking initiation from him, serving him, and then following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So he kind of elaborates on that within the context of activities which are favorable for devotional service. So I will read I think this is the relevant part here. But receiving instructions from the spiritual master. He says, after receiving initiation and instructions from a bona fide guru, a fortunate disciple should follow the path of the previous sadhus. Those who are proud neglect the previous Mahajans and create new paths. As a result, they soon proceed on their inauspicious path and ruin themselves. It is said in the Skanda Purana, Samrigya Shreyasam Hetu Panta Santapa Varjita anavapta shramam purve yena santa patastire. One should strictly follow the easy path which the previous Mahajans have accepted. That path bestows great auspiciousness and is devoid of all misery. End of quote. That's the translation of that verse from the Skanda Purana. One should strictly follow the easy path which the previous Mahajans have accepted. That path bestows great auspiciousness and is devoid of all misery. By discussing the path of the previous sadhus, one gets determination, courage, and satisfaction. When we discuss the path of devotional service exhibited by Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Sri Raghunath, and Sri Haridas Thakur, then we feel such happiness that it cannot be described. When the miscreant Mohammedans tortured Haridas Thakur, he said, Kanda Kanda Harideha, Yaya Yadipran, Tabu Ami Vadame, Nachari Harinam, E Sabha Jivera Krishna, Karaha Prasad, Morha Drohi Nahu, E Sabhara Aparad. Even if my body is cut into pieces and I lose my life, I will never give up chanting the Lord's holy name. O Krishna, please be merciful upon these poor souls. Kindly excuse them for their offense of torturing me. Almost end of this section. I'll summarize it shortly. Maintaining this type of determination and being compassionate to all living entities while always chanting the holy name of Krishna is the path of devotional service exhibited by the previous Mahajans. Here's the path. Three things. What anyone can repeat without me having to repeat? What were the three things?
Determination.
Determination. Yes, determination is devotional service.
Courage.
Which was?
Courage.
Yes?
Courage.
Yes? Yes.
Compassion
towards others. That's the second.
Holy name.
And the holy name. While always chanting the holy name. These three activities. It's the path of devotional service exhibited by the previous Mahajan. So, how did Haridas Thakur manifest that? In his, we just quoted. What did he say? He said, you can cut my body to pieces. I'll never give up chanting the holy name of the Lord. What else did he say?
Forgive the offenses of the miscreant.
Yes, kindly excuse them. All three of them are right there. Kindly excuse them. Please excuse them for their offense of torturing me. So that's the path. Path cannot be manufactured. Whatever path is there should be accepted by sadhus. Sadhus. Those who are proud and want fame try vigorously to discover new paths. Those who have good fortune from past lives give up pride and respect the established path. Those who are unfortunate promenade on a new path and thus cheat the world. Regarding such persons, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quotes the Brahma Yamala as follows. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharacha Vidhimila Akaintiki Hariya Bhaktir Upatyayava Upatayaiva Kalpate Bhaktir Akantiki Veyam Avicharat Patiyate Vastu Tastu Tatanaiva Yad Ashastriya Tikshate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. Such activities are born of speculation and therefore they only superficially resemble unalloyed devotion because they are disrespectful to the Vedic injunctions. disrespecting Vedic injunctions falls in the category of atheism. Whenever there is disrespect for the scriptures, which are the Lord's instructions, that cannot be devotional service. This is one section. There's more, and it comes a little bit later. But here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that very important point, that these three principles, which are the path which is established by the previous Mahajans, which is compassion, determination, and constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is the path which is given by our previous acharyas. It's the path we're meant to follow. It's the path that all our previous acharyas themselves followed, constant determination, chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and compassion. And those who deviate from that path, as described right here, they do so because of pride. They think, it reminds me of that. There was a conversation, I oftentimes refer to it, I think it was given by Giriraj Maharaj. It's a story he told in the Prabhupada Leela. Told the story of an Indian man when Prabhupada was having a conversation with a group of people in, I can't remember what it must have been, in Bombay. One man was challenging Prabhupada. And he was challenging Prabhupada, saying, first he was saying that Prabhupada was being too critical. He's saying, Swamiji, that why are you speaking so harshly about people? This is not, and he's quoting the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, how a humble sage by virtue of true knowledge, Panditatsambhadarshana, sees with equal vision. He said that you're using such strong language. I guess Prabhupada was using, as he oftentimes uses, the word rascal. And the man was challenging Prabhupada, you know, why are you speaking so strongly? Why you should be equal to everyone? And Prabhupada was explaining that actually this is not my words, these are Krishna's words. Krishna says, Namam diskriti namudha. He said, I'm simply repeating Krishna's words. And he said, and he also said, Pandita Samadarshan, he said, that is very high position. I'm not that on that position. And he says, my position is to discriminate. I have to discriminate, and I have to see who is following what Krishna says and who's not following what Krishna says. He says, that is my Pandita Samadarshana. And he said, I don't discriminate. I tell those instructions to everybody. And therefore, those who don't, Krishna says, you're rascal. So that's my, he says, that's my equal vision. That's my equal vision. I don't discriminate. Either you're following what Krishna says or you're not following what Krishna says. And then the man challenged Prabhupada and said, he said, but Swamiji, but what are you doing? All you do is you're just quoting somebody else. But what are you doing? Why don't you just, why don't you speak for yourself? And Prabhupada, got very, very strong. He said, no. He says, this is our system. I stand solemnly on the strength of the words spoken by Krishna in our disciplic succession. He said, this is my duty. This is my qualification. I do not deviate. We stand on this position firmly. He said, that is our qualification, to repeat. So, and then Prabhupada was very heavy. And I think Giriraj Maharaj, in the story he told, at least the way it was quoted in the Prabhupada Leela, he said, after the meeting, after the gathering, everyone was walking out of the room, and a man was heard saying to himself, he said, very interesting, Swamiji is Pandita Sambhadarshana. You can see how Prabhupada was not discriminating. He was giving everyone what Krishna said without discrimination. And when Krishna says, if you're a rascal, you're a rascal. And Krishna gives the criteria. Therefore, I do not discriminate. So, therefore, our position is always to defend the parampara. The fact is that story, well-known story, when Balabhapata came to Lord Chaitanya and asked him to hear his commentary, you know, as Srimad Bhagavatam. And we know, you know, nobody else would hear it. He was very frustrated. Nobody would listen to it. Because, of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't give any credibility and explain the reasons, because he did not accept the words of Sridhar Swami. And he thought his commentaries surpassed those of Sridhar Swami. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, well, he said, one who does not accept a Swami, he's a prostitute. And therefore he criticized Balabhapata for thinking he could surpass Sridhar Swami's commentaries by presenting something better. So, of course, it is always the duty of the spiritual master, it is the duty of the acharya to always to present the commentaries of the disciplic succession. And wherever there may appear to be discrepancies, then of course he tries to show that there's no discrepancies at all. Or if he cannot show there are no discrepancies, then he leaves the statements of the acharyas as themselves, let them stand on them by themselves, and doesn't try to impose an interpretation of them which was not properly represent the conclusions of the previous acharyas. And therefore, here it is stated that those who are proud, they neglect the previous Mahajans and create new paths. And as a result, they proceed on their inauspicious path and they ruin themselves. So we already explained what the path was. Now, I'm going to just read one other section. I think it's not... Yes, here it is. This is also very... And then we'll read this section, and then we'll let Maharaj speak a little. You would like to speak on this topic? I don't want to eclipse the presence of somebody who can also very nicely explain such important. You want to speak on? Why don't we speak on what we talked about so far before I go on to the next topic, which related topic? Would you like to say something?
Nothing comes.
Nothing comes? Okay.
Determination,
compassion, chanting the holy name. And we should not introduce anything that contradicts that path which has been established by our previous acharyas. And he says here, inquiring about Sadharma, eternal religious principles, is one of the disciples' devotional duties. Therefore, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quotes the following statement from Sri Naradiya Purana. Achirad eva sarvarta siddhyat yesham apipshita saddhamasya vibhodhaya yesham nirbhandhini mati. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. So he's giving what is the qualification of one who's taken initiation. His qualification is he wants to receive instructions from the spiritual master so that he can follow the spiritual master and the parampara. And what should be the basis of his inquiry? The basis of his inquiry should be that he should be very eager to awaken his spiritual consciousness and have unflinching, undeviated intelligence. And here, a very nice explanation also. As fortunate persons wish to follow the characteristics of the sadhu's devotional service, they similarly desire to know their duty. This reminds me also of that verse, I think I spoke about it last time I was here. A verse from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, where the demigods are praying to Krishna, who reciprocates with the acharyas because he accepts the method by which they crossed. And because he accepts the method by which they crossed the ocean of material existence, he's very kind both to the acharya who crossed, and he's kind to those who are still left behind following the same method that they crossed. And in fact, the example that the demigods give in that prayer is that the acharyas cross the ocean and they leave behind the boat for others to cross as well. The same method they crossed, Krishna accepts it, and then they leave behind those instructions. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary explains they leave behind the institution. And those instructions. They crossed, they show by their example how they crossed the ocean of material existence and left. Krishna accepted their method for crossing, and Prabhupada said that method was chanting, following the example of footsteps of Rupa Goswami, and he said also in giving books of the previous acharyas. He said that was what, says that's what we are doing, that's the method. And he said, therefore our followers should accept that method to cross by that same way, because Krishna accepted that method. Anyone who follows that acharya will also be able to cross by following the same method. So here, as fortunate persons wish to follow the characteristics of the sadhu's devotional service, they similarly desire to know their duty. Unfortunate proud persons act just the opposite. As they search paths different from those of the sadhus, they disrespect the sadhus' determined conclusions while respecting their own. They do not care to preach the teachings of Mahaprabhu to the people of this world. Rather, they preach doctrines contradictory to those of Mahaprabhu. They do not know how much misfortune they are creating by this. Those who are simple endeavor to properly learn the teachings of the Lord from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord's teachings are our only life. Sadhama lies in this alone. The bona fide disciple especially tries to understand Sadhama. If he cannot understand on his own, then he prays at the feet of his Siksha Guru and learns from him. Those who have this kind of determination to know Sadhama quickly achieve their desired goal. What is Sadhama? This Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Anya Balasita Sunyam Jnana Kamardya Navatam Anukulina Krishnanushyanam Bhakti Uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. So Sadhama means the disciple should be very interested to know about pure devotional service. In fact, it's interesting. I'm going to tell a little realization I got, an experience I had just recently in Mayapur. In Mayapur, I gave a Bhagavatam class one day. I was quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta about chanting. And he was explaining what is meaningful chanting and what is useless chanting. And he was explaining that anyone who chants for the purpose of... Actually, I'll read it. I have it right here. I don't want to... But yes, it's right here. It's a very good example. Huh? It's in the same class. Yes, yes. I read it in that class. It was in Amrita Vani, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And it was in chapter on prayer. Prayer? No, it's chapter on chanting. sorry. I want to read it because it's good. Yes. Pure devotees do not chant the Lord's names to counteract sinful reactions, accumulate piety, attain heavenly pleasures, to mitigate famine, devastating epidemics, social unrest, disease, civil strife, or to obtain wealth or an earthly kingdom. He gives us this. You know, we might think, well, these people at least are chanting. No. Devotees, pure devotees don't chant for any of these reasons. They chant for one reason only. He says, since the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to ask Him to fulfill our wishes is to treat Him as our servant. This is an offense. Therefore, calling the Lord's names for any reason other than to attain His devotional service is useless. Lord Jesus Christ told us not to take the Lord's name in vain. Yeah. So, I gave a class on this topic, quoting different references and explaining how the actual purpose of chanting is for pure devotional service. And I used different scriptural references from Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then one devotee after class, he came up and he said, Maharaj, he said, this is good. He said, but what about me? You know, and it's a very common, when devotees hear things like this, like, yeah, the hearing about this is, it's good. Like, that's the platform that pure devotees are. You know, but what's this got to do with me? You know, because I'm not... And he said, what am I supposed to do in a situation like this? I'm a pure devotee. And we discussed this point, and one of the important points to understand that I tried to get across to him is that none of us should think we're pure devotees. But our only interest should be to inquire about pure devotional service. Because by inquiring about pure devotional service and hearing the characteristics of pure devotional service, Krishna, the devotees are really tired today. I don't know, is it my topic? A lot of the devotees are just like really out cold. Or is it the heat? I didn't pick the topic. But the devotee's responsibility is to inquire, to hear about, and to want to know the characteristics. None of us should think we're on the platform of pure devotional service. And Krishna becomes pleased when the devotees are eager to hear about, to learn about, and to inquire about the characteristics of pure devotional service, and make that their intelligence, is what is being quoted here, that with firm intelligence inquiring about Saddhama. When they're actually become determined, then what happens is that's how we get purified. That's our method, that's our means of purification. Should we hear about, you know, you hear about mixed devotional service so that we can feel good about ourselves? Oh, I feel better now that I know that I can I can engage in mixed devotional service and Krishna will still accept me. And of course, akama savakama moksha kama udara diti vena bhakti yogena yajita purusha param. You know, whether one is filled with material desires, he has no material desires, he's desiring liberation. But Tivrena Bhakti Yogina, he worships the Lord with determination. And this is a method for purifying us from our inadequacies and our tendencies to, you know, to want to take the comfortable path rather than the path which is set by the previous Mahajans. Not only do we become inclined to take it, but the difficulty is that those who are proud, because they want credit, they want recognition and fame, and because they still have that there within their hearts, they think, let me present a new path so I can get followers with a new path. Because everybody thinks, that sounds good, it's something new. I never thought of that. But the acharyas, although they may present something that may be different because they're acharyas, they could present something, but they don't deviate from constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord, compassion for others, and determination. In what? Their determination in the execution of pure devotional service by their constant endeavors, which was exemplified by Haridas Thakur. So even though we're not pure devotees, we still follow the path set by the previous Mahajans and these. And even though we have material desires, we still inquire, how can I advance on the path of pure devotional service? Now, how can I feel comfortable about not having to having achieved pure devotional service? And that's the point that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to make here. I have to go back to the Bhakti Loka. He says, as long as this pure devotional service in the form of understanding Saddhama has not clearly manifest in the heart of an inquisitive person, his heart remains covered with darkness and he cannot know what is pure devotional service. I'll read that again. As long as this pure devotional symptom, what is a pure devotional symptom? A pure devotional symptom is that he wants to know what is Saddhama. That is the pure devotional symptom. He tries to understand Saddhama. If he cannot understand it on his own, then he prays at the feet of his Siksha Guru and learns from him what is Saddhama. Those who have this kind of determination to know Saddhama, determination, quickly achieve their desired goal. As long as this pure devotional symptom in the form of understanding Saddhama has not clearly manifested in the heart of an inquisitive person, his heart remains covered with darkness and he cannot know what is pure devotional service. If one depends on his own speculation, then unalloyed devotional service will not manifest in his heart. In other words, if he speculates, because he still has attachments and desires, depends on his own speculation, he's going to come up with something not following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and not inquiring about pure devotional service. He says, if one depends on his own, then unalloyed devotional service will not manifest in his heart. We meet many so-called pundits who think they have understood the constitution of bhakti by their knowledge and intelligence. Some of them have concluded that devotional service mixed with jnana is pure bhakti. Some of them have concluded devotional service mixed with karma is pure bhakti. They are so proud that if they hear the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they say, everyone can make their own conclusion. What is the need for taking the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita? These people never come in touch with Saddhama because they have no desire to know it. The result of performing their own concocted new process of devotional service is they can never relish pure devotion. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hidivartate. Bhukti, as long as he desires for bhukti, for sense enjoyment, mukti, for liberation within the heart, like two witches with haunt one, like a ghost. And as long as these two witches are there haunting one, one will never be able to taste the bliss of pure devotional service. And then they'll say, what is this pure devotional service? It doesn't work anyways. I'm getting bliss. I'm getting pleasure. And therefore, because he thinks I'm getting pleasure from this other thing, this other concoction, what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say next? The very next point he makes, it's the duty of a sadhaka to give up personal enjoyment for the sake of Krishna. Sense gratification is called enjoyment. Dovetailing one's lust for sense gratification in the service of Krishna is renunciation of enjoyment. When one converts his world of enjoyment into what is favorable for devotional service, thus giving up the spirit of enjoying those objects and accepting everything as Krishna Prasad, and this is called renunciation of enjoyment. Any questions or comments? Anything I've discussed so far? No. Is this the topic? Or is this is?
I want to clarify why I joined the topic.
Oh, in other words, I missed the boat.
What happens is, everybody wants to know about lust. You know, there is only one way to deviate from that. But what other thing you just mentioned? Pride is the reason why we become unviable. That's what. And now recently we are celebrating this 50th anniversary of Prabhupada going to US now. So that's why this new topic has been brought. So I don't know. I mean, how people react to it, but that's what.
We should not deviate from what Prabhupada has given us.
Recently, one thing.
But this is the basis. This is the whole basis of why we should not deviate from what Prabhupada has given us. This is exactly it. It's the whole basis. Prabhupada has given us a mission.
He's teaching pure devotional service, so we don't inquire from pure devotional service. Then, in one sense, we're deviating.
Yeah, well, I think he's looking for the externals. What is the deviation from Prabhupada's mission? Is that what you're saying? What is?
What I thought is, the whatever way we perform our devotional service, any field we become sort of expert, that brings pride. So scholarship in scriptures like Prabhupada and all the our Goswamis and our Acharyas as a human, if we become sort of proud. Recently, I heard one person being not quoted.
Excuse me? I didn't.
Go ahead, call it.
You don't have to say who it is, just quote it.
Somebody quoted something?
No. Some scholar in this one being very sort of going against the. Intention was that because over a certain period of time, if we do not follow that, we just said certain things we cannot understand and just keep it like that. And instead of giving our own purpose to them and get deviated from the parampara.
This didn't cover
that
topic?
It did. So why I am saying this is why we have chosen this topic, that's what.
Uh-huh.
That is the.
No, I don't need to know. I don't, because it speaks for itself what I spoke. If we're going to present ourselves as an acharya, we should better be able to make sure that we stand on these three firm principles of our disciplic succession. And that is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, being compassionate to others, and being strictly determined to follow the path of the previous acharyas. And if those three things are there, then fine. But if they're not, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one, unfortunately, is proud, introduces a new path, promenades on a new path, and cheats himself, and unfortunately, cheats everyone else who follows him. So, this is the criteria. And, someone may say, or may look for, this is subjective. Well, everything can be subjective. What's the criteria? How do we know somebody's following these three things? Well, laying up out a deity.
We might say that the present acharya is one who's representing the previous acharya. So to jump over to the previous acharya and give our own understanding of what the previous acharya is saying and apply it to the present situation is not following in the footsteps of the present or the previous acharyas.
When I
has to follow the present acharya in order to follow the previous acharyas. Can't jump.
Yeah.
And that's what you're indicating, right? Pretty much. Someone is going to the previous acharyas and getting ideas that are contrary to the person acharya. And therefore, that's a sense of pride creating their own path based on their own speculation of what the previous acharya said.
Do we need to discuss details? I don't think so.
No, that's what he's talking about, basically.
Yes?
Not being a pure devotee, is that a natural consequence of a deviation?
Not being a pure devotee?
Yes. So if you're not a pure devotee, then naturally you deviate?
Somewhere along the line. There was a deviation.
It will be a natural consequence of deviation.
Yes, and therefore the natural solution is to get back on the right path.
If you follow pure devotional service, you might say that's also pure devotion. If you're following the principles and inquiring about pure devotional service, that is pure devotional service.
You know, I was just heard a lecture just recently. Prabhupada was saying, I'm paraphrasing, but he was saying that even though we may not be able to completely follow, he says just having the desire to follow, Krishna accepts that as devotional service. The desire in itself, he accepts that as devotional service. Krishna is, what is it? Bhava Bihi Janardana. Bhava Bihi Janardana. He accepts the essence of a devotee's person's attitude. And even though externally he may not fully be able to perform things perfectly, but if he's sincere and he has a desire to perform, then Krishna accepts the essence of a devotee's attitude and then helps that devotee to make progress.
So question, what is the attitude of that person who inquired from you that this is not for me? So what is that understanding that he has?
What was the understanding he had?
Yeah, what is the understanding?
Be honest, and then when I explained everything to him, he completely accepted. He said, "Thank you, Maharaj. You just cleared up all my doubts."
That's common. It's not just one of many. It's one of many people. Yeah, so, what is that? Why do people think like that?
Why do people think like that?
Yeah. What is the rationale that justifies that type of mentality?
I think because their faith is weak. Their faith is weak. There are many reasons. Their faith is weak. They don't see an example. That could be another reason. They don't see an example of somebody to follow. And therefore, you know, and then they have to, of course, look within their own hearts to see, you know, why they don't see an example. If it could be something in their own heart also that prevents them from seeing an example, even though examples may still be there.
Or they may be cultivating a rule of
sense. Yeah. As we just read, there's some still desire with karma for karma and jnana, and things, therefore, because there's still some desire for karma and jnana, they think, yes, these things are pure bhakti. Even though it's mixed with karma, this is pure bhakti, and when he hears what pure bhakti is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, he thinks, well, why do I have to hear that? It doesn't make any difference what it.
By
being willing to hear it, his heart not only he becomes humble, but he becomes purified. If he hears submissively, and submissive inquiry and service, then his heart becomes purified. Krishna accepts him. What is it in Bhagavatam? The sages are saying to Sutta Goswami, said, because you are submissive, your gurus bestowed upon you everything, gave you all the favor necessary so that you can tell us exactly what is the science of devotional service. You could scientifically tell us because you are submissive to your gurus. Isn't that what that's the essence of the verse?
And also because you are gentle by nature.
and gentle, yeah. Gentle by nature.
Because he was gentle by nature, he can receive it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Instead of challenging, due to pride. Yes?
Yes. When he was reading this, it was always like, they create new paths. So is it like a literal meaning? Because devotees do have their own styles. They feel like for this new crowd, they can do. Same mood could be the same.
That's not a new path.
That's not a new path.
If one follows the principles of determination in devotional service, giving up sense gratification, as he goes on to explain next, determination for devotional service, genuine compassion means giving them what we use Prabhupada's example. What was his compassion? What was his Pandita Samadarshana? His compassion was giving the conclusions of the previous acharyas. That was his compassion. He didn't. So because he gave the conclusions of the previous acharyas, he didn't deviate from Siddhanta. So that's not a new path by presenting things in a way to it. You know, that's, but a new path is when it deviates from these three principles. That's a new path. And therefore we have to see if such a path is deviating from these three principles. And not only that, but it's one thing to introduce a new way for people to come to Krishna consciousness, but what are we going to bring them to when they come? We have to bring them to the path of the previous Mahajans, not to a new path, and think this is the accepted norm, this is the new way. That means we have to teach by our example what is the path of the Mahajans. If we don't teach by our own example what is the path of the Mahajans, we may create a method for bringing others to Krishna consciousness, but we may bring them to, you know, it's like the example I oftentimes give, people they call it bridge preaching. People, they build a bridge and then they get so busy or get so occupied with the bridge that they spend all their money and everything and just, why don't we just stay on the bridge? What's the sense of going to the other side?
There's a lot of nice things on the bridge.
Yeah, exactly. So why don't I just live on the bridge and bring everybody to live with me on the bridge? But the purpose of the bridge is to bring you to the other side. But if you don't show the other side, then what's the bridge preaching? If there's no other side to go to, the other side is by pure bhakti. So that means I have to be engaged in pure bhakti. If I bring everybody to me and say, okay, this is my bridge, if I'm not engaged in pure bhakti and I'm preventing everybody from getting on the other side of the bridge, then I'm not bringing anybody anywhere. So I have to be following pure bhakti. Otherwise, or at least, I have to bring people to those who are following pure bhakti, so they can take them to the other side of the bridge. But the difficulty is people get so obsessed with their new path, with their new mode of presentation, that they think, this is it. This is the new way. This is it. Let's all of us stay here and be satisfied with this and forget what's on the other side. So that example has to be there also. That if we're going to introduce something that's new, that's different, we better make sure that we're bringing people to pure bhakti. And if we're not bringing anybody to the other side, we better be sure we're on the platform of pure bhakti ourselves. Otherwise, everybody we gather together, they're not going anywhere. They're not making it to the other side. And it's becoming cheated, unfortunately.
Or one is not creating a new path, one is following the present acharyas, but at the same time not bringing people ultimately to the goal. Just presenting in a very rote or dogmatic way what is already presented.
Yeah, the path in itself is the goal.
Yeah. Krishna says something also to Lord Brahma. The end of the Brahma Samhita, very similar to these three points, where he sums up the whole process in three stages. Three points he also says. He glorifies Brahma. describes that the ultimate success is three principles: perseverance in practice, following scriptural evidence, and what is that? I can't remember the actual word, but the point is that proper Vaishnav culture, etiquette, behavior, in other words, the achar practice, or the proper mood of a Vaishnava. So we might compare that to compassion, and chanting of the holy name would be following the scripture, and the determination would be a perseverance in practice. It's very similar to what Krishna says to Lord Brahma. Is that right at the end of the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita? Yeah.
What is the verse?
It's one of the verses of Brahma Samhita, very at the very end of that fifth chapter. He glorifies Lord Brahma, and then he says, and he sums up the whole process. Krishna's responding to Brahma's prayers. And he says, perseverance in practice, following scriptural evidence, and I can't remember the actual statement, but the proper way to execute, in other words, Vaishnava's behavior, culture, which would be compassion, compared to compassion. Yeah.
All right. This is supposed to end at 5.
What will we do?
It's 5:05. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada.